Today's text from Book of Acts, chapter 6, verse 1 through 7. Book of Acts, chapter 6, verse 1 through 7. As you open it there, you know, I was thinking, I've been reading Book of Acts a lot. And then I was thinking about what if I may give new name to the Book of Acts. I will name the Book of Acts as such. Enough excuses and experience now. Enough excuses and experience now. I think that will be a very fitting name for the Book of Acts. Holy Spirit driven life now. The transformed life now. The life filled with joy now. The walk with Jesus now. Right? Glory to God now. The light in the darkness now. Now. That's what we read about here in this book. The disciples were giving a lot of excuses. There's a reason why I cannot go outside because I fear, right? They had enough excuses. Now they begin to experience God's promises. And that's the Book of Acts. So I pray right now that we'll have such moment in this place, in our midst, that we'll all experience God's awesome, awesome presence and His promise being fulfilled in our congregation, in our church. So let's go there. Book of Acts, chapter 6, verse 1 through 7. Let's read together. Here we go. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of spirit and of wisdom, whom we'll appoint to this duty, but we'll devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, the man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, and Proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles. They prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Amen. Amen. Today I want to talk about conflict. I see conflict. What do I do? Because as we read together in the early church, they had a conflict, but they had a beautiful way of dealing with conflict. Think about conflicts. We had a major conflict kind of working out today, right? It happened not too long ago. We had a great summit in Singapore. You know, the North Korea and the U.S. had a summit together, right? There was a lot of tweets going on back and forth, right, prior to this meeting. But, you know, it looks like that the conflict is kind of working out. It's being diffused. And then the outcome of the conflict is that, I don't know if you guys know about it, but they agreed upon a couple of things. On this summit, they desire peace and prosperity between the two countries. They want to build a lasting and stable peace between the two nations. And then they want to commit to work towards a complete denuclearization in the Korean Peninsula. And then they want to recover the POWs, right? So a lot of it has been settled, and then it's been agreed upon, and they shake on it. And everybody's very excited. Although, you know, we know that now that that has been kind of worked, now they have new conflicts going to arise. The conflict will be like, okay, we have to keep this now, right? They will have conflict to keep it together, right? And keep their words together. The point is that there's conflict. We live in the world that is filled with conflict. We see conflicts everywhere. There's a lot of conflict going on in Israel. There's a lot of conflict going on in Turkey. There was a lot of conflict going on in Syria, right? In this world, we see conflicts every day. Everywhere we turn to, we see conflict. Not only that, we see conflicts here in the city of San Francisco as well. You know, we quickly find that, I mean, we every Saturday, you can join us every Saturday from 12 to like 1:30, 12 o'clock, we go out and we talk to different people, the homeless people, and then they will talk, they'll share their hearts out, and we see there are a lot of conflicts. And it is, the conflict in the city, and we don't have to go even go that far. You may just look into your own household, what happened in your own home, and you may have conflicts. And earlier today, Pastor Kim, our senior pastor, talked about the conflict that he had in his own household. You know, he started his preaching preaching series on love, and then soon as he planned to have a new preaching series on love, he had a conflict with his wife, how to love my wife. So he was challenged, and he talked about it earlier. Yeah, we have conflict. You know, my wife and I, sometimes we have argument, we have conflicts. You know, conflict comes from small things, from big things. You know, as small as you take the trash, or you take the trash, right? Because when you're tired, when you don't want to do anything, everything sometimes seems like it becomes conflict. And we have conflict in church too. I shared with you guys a couple weeks ago that I took my youth group kids to the youth retreat, and it was joint youth retreat in Georgia. There was all different church coming from Florida and Georgia, and we all had, and there's major conflict between the pastors and the elders. They had a major fight there. We see conflicts everywhere. And today, I mean, we all agree that we have these conflicts everywhere, but I think what I want to talk about is how to deal with conflicts. How to deal with conflict. Because sometimes I feel like that as Christians, we are so driven to diffuse the conflict. And we miss out what is very, very important. We miss out what is more urgent than diffusing the conflict. I think that when we have a problem, when we have conflict, what is more urgent is having the clarity of the vision of God that He has for you. Having the clarity of vision of God. We want to work out the situation, and we make wrong choices. We may have wrong motivations, and we just basically swipe, right? We just put away the conflict a little bit, and then only to find out the conflict rise again later. What is more urgent is a vision of God for you and for the community, for the nations. And that is what we have to put our attention to, where we have to put our hearts and we have to engage our heart with what God wants, in other words. When we see conflicts, when you find yourself in the middle of conflict, you have to see what is most urgent, which is what is that God wants through this conflict. That's what we want to talk about today. You know, this is what we talk about, what we read in the book of Acts chapter 6, you know, it can be applied to your own personal life. I don't know, maybe some of you may have some conflicts right now. You're in the middle of a conflict right now. And I pray that you take away the wisdoms and the direction of the Holy Spirit from the text, and then apply to your life, and may you find peace with God. So in the book of Acts, this is what we find. They talk about two groups. The conflict rises now because there are two. They say there's two groups. One is Hellenist Jews. Hellenist Jews, there are a lot of a different understanding about what is Hellenist Jews are. They say that, oh, they are like more like Gentiles. They're like Jews. They are who speaks the Greeks only, mainly. They are like, and that's what different people talk about different things. But my study reveals that they are actually Jews who've been scattered around. You know, they were taken as in exile all over the world, and then they grew up there. They're like second gen, third gen of Jews, right? Who grew up there, and they only speak Greeks, because Greeks was a Roman Empire language. So they speak Greek. And then when they came, because they had the same passion and fervency for God's law and to worship God, when they came now to Jerusalem to worship God, they didn't speak any Jews. So they had to find the synagogues that will preach, they will teach the laws of Moses in Greek. And then when they did that, right, they will look them down, just like they looked down upon the Samaritans. They looked down the Samaritans like, oh, they call them, you're mutts, you're mixed, and we don't like you because we were outside, we kept our bloodline pure, and you're in here in the Palestinian area, you couldn't even keep your bloodline pure. And they called them mutt, and they didn't want to associate with them. And just like that, they were really, really hated this the Hellenist Jews. And now they came together because the Spirit of God brought them together. Even then, the conflict could not be diffused. We read here in the verse 1, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. There are two kinds of distribution going on. One is weekly distribution. The second is daily distribution. Daily distribution was more like food. And weekly distribution was kind of like clothing and some of the blankets and stuff like that. And we see that on daily distribution, when they gather together to get food for the day, they are being neglected. And that does not go well with what we just read about from the book of Acts chapter 2 and 4. In chapter 2 and chapter 4, what do we read about? Holy Spirit comes, everybody's hearts was open, everybody's sharing together, and the Bible tells us there is no need because everybody shared equally. And we see here in chapter 6, all of a sudden, we find a particular group, Hellenized Jews, they are being neglected. Especially, these widows. Widows, they say a lot of Jews who were living outside of the Palestinian area, they have such a passion and a love, a devotion to their own nation. So towards the end of their life, a lot of them decided to come back and settle in Jerusalem area. And then a lot of guys died earlier. And then there are a lot of widows here, a lot of Hellenized widows in that town. And they are being neglected. We just saw from chapter 2 and chapter 4 how God's understanding, God's idea, God's vision for justice is being restored. But quickly here in chapter 6, we see that is just being disrupted because of what? The difference. The studies tells us that they had a very different understanding of culture. They don't speak the same language as much. And then they have different common interests. And I find it like, wow, that's more like first gen and second gen Koreans here in the church. In the Korean church, you always find first generation Koreans. We'll always find second generation Koreans. We'll always find third generation Koreans. And what is major, we always have some kind of conflict in Korean church or in any immigrant church. I joined the Hispanic program while I was doing the Master of Divinity program. I joined it because I was at the time, I didn't know where God was going to lead me, but since my father was a missionary in Honduras, so I said, who knows, maybe he will take me to take me back to Honduras. So I signed up for Hispanic program. It was a mistake because my Spanish level was seventh grader, and now I'm joining the class in graduate level. And professor, can I write a paper in English, please? Yeah, so, but anyway, all the pastors, one day we gathered together, and they said, we have such an issue with joining worship. Oh, wow, how interesting is that? You have problem with joining worship. Yes, we do. Because when we come together, we have a lot of second gen, third gen Hispanics who do not speak any Spanish, right? So they will have to translate Spanish to English all the time. And then when there is a little more Spanish being spoken, right, the second gen, third generation, English speaking, the first generation will complain. And when there's more Spanish being spoken, right, then the second gen, third generation, the Hispanics will complain. So like one pastor said, so therefore we decided we'll never have joint worship no more in our church, right? A lot of conflicts. And I just kind of see that here. Similar situations. And sometimes in immigrant church, because largely they're first generation Koreans or any ethnic groups, they're being like majority groups, right? And it's usually the second generations kind of feel like they're kind of secondary to the church. And there is a lot of conflict because of that. And then guess who was majority in the town? The Jews, Palestinian Jews. And these, the Hellenistic Jews were being neglected. They felt like minors in this group, right? And it's very interesting how they work out the situation, though. I thought like maybe Mike and I would talk about the God's humor in the Bible, and I find it very humorous here too. So they decided, okay, then we need the leaders in the church. So they decided, okay, we're gonna put seven deacons in the house to, you know, help this problem. And guess who were the seven deacons? The whole Hellenized Jews. You know, there are problems between the Hellenized Jews, Palestinian Jews, right? And then they came up with a solution, and then to pick seven Hellenized Jews to work out the solution. I find it very interesting and fun, interesting how God works. But that's kind of the humor that I found in it. But what I want to share how they work out the situation is this. So let's go here. The verse 2 through verse 5. The 12 summoned the full number of disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you seven men of good repute, full of spirit and of wisdom, whom we'll appoint to this duty, and we'll devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose. Yeah. This text does not mean that serving on the table is any less ministry than ministry of the word. But what they are saying is that our main duty is this. Our main duty is this. God has appointed us, the apostles, to teach, to witness the word of God. And we are, because of conflicts, because the issues happening, our time is taking off from this. You know, in the beginning of chapter 6, it clearly tells us the numbers was rising. The people were gathering more. More people were coming together. And there, it was required of them more time to serve at the table. So they said, wow, you know what? We are taking off from what we have to do. Let's go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 through 14. I think Don has it up there. Later, Paul talks about this. "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For one spirit we all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves, free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many." Yeah. We are, you know, in this section, Paul talks about, yeah, we are one gathering, but in the one gathering, we have many different parts. Just like cars have many different parts for it to work together, of taking person from destination A to B. There are many different parts working together for a common goal, for transportation. Just like that church is one body, but has many parts. But then in the Corinthian church, what happened is that there is conflict in this Corinthian church. Some people are saying that we are this group. We are Peter. We like Peter, so we'll belong to Peter group. Oh, we like Paul, so we'll belong to Paul's group. Oh, we like Apollo, so we belong to Apollo groups. Oh, we like Jesus, we belong to Jesus group. So like there are groups where, you know, cliques were being formed, and then they were just not liking each other. Then on top of that, they're also saying that, whoa, my spiritual gift is higher than yours. I'm superior to than you in terms of in my faith, in my spirit, the spiritual gift. They have a conflict here. And Paul's like, whoa, we are one body. Yes, we are different. Yes, there's conflict because you see the differences. But then we are supposed to work together. And from this, he takes the Corinthians into chapter 13. We are one body. We must operate in love. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about love. And I tell you that if you speak the language but angel, but no love, well, you're nothing. While you serve, you sacrifice everything, but no love, you got nothing. Nothing. Love. Love was vision of God. Love was God's plan for his people. Love was his purpose for his church. That is exactly, they are exactly what Paul was helping them and guiding them to. What is most urgent thing here is love. To love to be displayed. For the love to be displayed. And book of Acts chapter 6, what we find here is exactly the same thing. You know, the apostles weren't saying that, oh, the preaching is more important. No, not at all. Well, we have big group here, and we have many different needs, and we must work together. And while we work on this preaching, teaching the word of God, and there needs to be some other leaders now helping with this ministry of distributing the food. When that happened, in the chapter, verse 7, it says that the word of God continued to increase, and number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of priests became obedient to the faith. Yeah. They became focused on what is most important. What is most important? They tried to wrap their minds around what is God's vision for our church? What is God's vision for our group? And then they moved on with it. When that happened, we see that God's glory being manifested. Guys, when we see conflict, when you are in conflict, diffusing conflict cannot be the most urgent thing. What's most urgent thing needs to be what God wants for you, for your life, what God wants for that relationship, what God wants for the community, what God wants for the church. That's what we have to focus on. And as we do that, we find ourselves being motivated, driven to that direction. Otherwise, we'll always try to search and struggle to find what will be the best solution that I can come up with. But we cannot do that. We have to be focused on what God wants. So whenever you see conflict, be reminded there are differences. There are many different parts. There are many different members who have different understanding, who have different interests. Be reminded of that. When you're reminded of that, yes, we are of many parts, then now be motivated to work it out, because you see that when the apostles, they devoted themselves to teaching, now the deacons devoted themselves to distributing food, what happened? The impact increased. The sphere of impact of God's ministry, it just increased. So whenever you see that, oh, there's conflict, reminded, yes, we are different. When you are reminded of differences, when you realize that, wow, there are different parties with differences, be reminded there is possibility of increasing God's glory in this situation. And thirdly, pray that you will be mindful of what he wants, and that you focus on it so you can act upon it. And that's what we see here. Yes, they had a conflict. Yes, they had issue. They worked through that by finding out what God wants. And that's why it says here, it pleased all who have gathered in the place. And as a result, we see that God's ministry increasing. And our church, we may find ourselves in a conflict as well. You know, we have KM here, we have EM here, right? We have different interests, right? Different culture, right? Different understanding. The way that we operate is different. But then, you know, instead of seeing that, oh, we are KM here, instead of EM there, let us be reminded, yes, we are different. And let us see that, wow, there is potential, you know, for God's ministry, God's glory to be manifested and to increase. And let us pray together. And let us learn to work together, and let us love each other. Amen? Okay, let's pray together.